Hey there, welcome to This Truth Talk, where we have real, raw, and honest conversations about life. My name is Jessica Hoddle, and I'm your host. Today, we're talking about three lies the fitness industry tells you, and we have a special guest, Amy Connell. Amy is a certified personal trainer, nutrition coach, and an imperfect eater. She founded Grace Health in 2016 to be able to really equip women with simple and grace-filled ways to be able to take care of and appreciate their God-created body, which is what you're going to be hearing today. If you wrestle with the fitness industry and what to do and what not to do, today we're talking about three lies that maybe you've heard, maybe you haven't heard, or maybe things that have been thrown your way that you're kind of just like, what do I do with this? What does this mean? Today is for you if you really just want to begin to live in truth, pursue the truth, and really begin to follow the Holy Spirit as far as what kind of workouts should I be doing? How many times should I be working out? Is it okay to rest? When is it okay to rest? When is it not okay to rest? How to listen to your body? All of these things we address in today's interview. So let's go ahead and get to the interview. Amy, today's topic is people are just ready to hear, right, of the lies that the fitness industry really tells us. And I don't think that most of us are even aware of these lies that come for us. They're so subtle in the messaging, or they come wrapped in really pretty bows that sound really good. And then we try to like live them out. We're like, man, this is really hard. And we're going to be talking about those lies. So why don't we start with, why are you so passionate about addressing these lies?
Oh, because I lived them for so long. I mean, this definitely comes from a point of struggle and from a point of quite honestly, obsession over so many of the lies that we have heard. And I think you're right. I don't even know that they were necessarily meant to be lies, but I think that they were maybe false promises, or they are part of a business, because it is an industry that is trying to get people in the door, trying to get people to sign up, and promising things that, you know, maybe is not what God has us has in store for us or is calling us to do. And so these are, you know, my very, very quick history is I spent most of my life obsessing over my body and how it looked and trying to have perfect eating and perfect movement and trying to be a hot mom. And God really pulled me out of that. And a little less than 10 years ago. And it's been a journey in realizing that I take care of my body so I can do what I'm called to do, which I know you're very familiar with, but not so it'll look a certain way and not so I can prove my health by checking off so many hours of exercise or lifting a certain amount or running, you know, however far or whatever that is.
What age were you when you felt like it started for you? And then what age were you when you kind of came to this awakening?
Well, I really can't remember a time in my life when I was happy with how I looked when I was younger. I mean, I would say it probably started late middle school. You know, I did the dance thing, which I'm so grateful I had that opportunity. It gave me a lot of benefits. It gave me a lot. It gave me confidence. But you know, sitting there in leotards, and you know, they weren't compression back then. but you know, there was a lot of body awareness and size awareness as a dancer. And then when God really planted, it was just this little bitty whisper, just this little bitty thing that started a change. So it was not some kind of a drastic change, but I would say probably mid to late 30s. I'm 46 now. So, but you know, it was basically, it had snowballed into this pure obsession and really kind of idolizing my body, kind of idolizing my fitness. And this is despite being a fitness instructor, this is despite, you know, doing all these things. But, you know, God kind of came to me one day and he said, Amy, you are spending more time thinking about the food you're going to eat and the exercise you're going to do than you're thinking about me. Mm-hmm. And so I would get up in my morning and I would have my quiet time, and my faith was really growing at that time, but I wasn't applying my faith to my health. Mm-hmm. They were two totally different lanes. And that was when he started to turn me, my health started to turn, and I really found that intersection which now that I'm thinking about it, I'm like, I don't know that that's a great example, because that would imply that they keep going the opposite way. But now we're more in line, and now I ride those two things together.
What I love about the faith and the fitness is so many people believe that it has to be one or the other.
Yeah.
You know, and it's actually a really new concept of combining the two of, well, what does that look like? And I also love asking, you know, your age now and your journey is to help women understand that if you've believed for 30, you know, or 25 years of your life that this is the way it has to be, it's going to take some time to unravel and renew your mind to a different truth. To now you're saying you're this age, this time in your life, and walking through that. And I think that that's really important for women. I think, especially for me, when we see these instant gratifications on social media, you know, we always see the before and after, but we forget all the time in between that it takes. And that really can go right into our first lie that I've often heard in my life is, well, I can tell that you're skinny or you're healthy just by looking at you, which implies, you know, typically skinnier people or whatever, like, well, I'm sure you're so healthy, just eat a Snickers, it doesn't matter. Can you address that lie?
Oh, yes. And I think that that is something, you know, it's funny, that is a chapter in this book that I'm coming up. And originally the chapter title was Being Healthy Means Having Flat Abs. Same concept, right? Like just looking and saying, oh, well, you know, you have a six pack, so you must be healthy, because flat abs are something I've never had. So, yeah, I mean, I think the reality is there are so many different elements that our body can exhibit its health. You know, it's such a miraculous, I don't want to say piece of machine that God made, but just, I mean, the intricacies in it. And He has given us all of these different abilities and ways to evaluate our health. And just like He's given us a lot of different ways to be healthy and to move and different foods to eat, I think that there are a lot of different elements that we can look at to determine, like, am I healthy? So how are you sleeping? Are you up a lot? Are you falling asleep quickly, but then awake for several hours? Are you awake for an hour and a half and then falling asleep? Like, I think sleep is a really great indicator of how everything else is functioning. How's your blood metrics? You know, which is something that every woman needs to be addressing with their doctor. And it is, you know, I know that there are ranges, but it's also individualized. But, you know, if your cholesterol is out of hand, that might be genetics, but that doesn't mean that we don't need to make modifications to, you know, to address that. How's your blood pressure? You know, I'm someone who, despite eating a really plant-heavy diet, and I move a lot, I still fight high blood pressure. You know, this is just, I don't know why. I guess it's genetics, but that's, you know, those are things that I have to be able to do. Your size is not an indicator of your health. It's all of these other factors that all work together to determine whether or not we are healthy. So, you know, we can have a bigger body or more curvy body and have really great blood work, really great blood pressure, really great sleep. Well, if that's the case, then you're doing great. You know, great job. Likewise, I have a friend who has Crohn's disease, and she lost a lot of weight and got a lot of comments like, wow, you look great. Well, she was sick, you know, and her body wasn't absorbing nutrients. And there was just a lot of things in her life that weren't going very well because of her physical health. And so we can't look at someone and go, oh, you've lost 20 pounds. You look great. You must be so healthy. Well, that, or maybe, you know, your body's not doing well and it's not at its natural level.
Yeah. I'm actually glad you addressed that, because I think those comments, and I've been so like aware of those, you know, making sure that if I compliment somebody and I noticed a change, that I try not to make it about their physical appearance, because it does change and we don't know their story. If they're stressed, or especially nowadays with mental health and, you know, being locked up and, you know, all the things that we had to deal with in 2020, what that carries into as far as body and stress and everything. And I think that it can go right into that another lie of the no pain, no gain, which is what we hear a lot in the fitness industry. And it makes us feel like we just have to kill ourselves in the gym and, you know, do all the exercises 7 days a week. And if we don't, then we're a failure. So what truths do you have to share about that?
Oh my gosh. Well, number one, take no pain, no gain, throw it out the window and never look back. I think that that is a mindset that the fitness industry used to have, like you better show up. And the sister to no pain, no gain is go hard or go home.
Yeah.
You know, like you better show up and you better work really hard. And if you're not going to, don't even bother.
Yep.
And oh, that one really hurts my, that one, it just, those two like just drive me crazy. Like they just make me want to cringe up just thinking about it.
Yeah.
The reality is when we're taking care of our body well, particularly from a fitness, you know, so as a personal trainer, this is kind of where my focus in my wheelhouse is. It is so just, it's just as critical to do lower intensity movements, mobility stuff where you're moving your body in a lot of different ways, maybe a little bit slower, you're stabilizing your muscles. It's important to, you know, walk or do yoga, practice yoga or meditating, that kind of thing. Just as it's important to lift your weights and do your high intensity workouts. And those are good depending on your age. You shouldn't be doing those too often. I would say, one of the leading experts is a guy named Dr. Len Kravitz, and he recommends, I think it's no more than 3 high intensity workouts a week. Well, what happens is we hear, oh, this, you know, these high intensity exercises, which is, you know, kind of that, like that can, I don't want to say that's painful, but that's a go hard mentality. And then the new morning services or the morning shows get a hold of it or the BuzzFeeds. And then you think, I got to do this every day. But no, actually, let's take it down a notch. Let's move our body in a lower intensity. And then that will prevent pain. Yeah. Pain is a gift from our body saying that something's not right. Mm-hmm. And it's up to us to listen to it and to respond to it. Maybe it's just how we move differently. Maybe it's getting a healthcare provider. Maybe it's taking a rest day. you have permission to not work out every day. I mean, and if you need a model for that, then look to God. You know, mm-hmm. He took a rest day. He took it, you know, there's the Sabbath. He commanded the Sabbath. I mean, time and time and time again in the Bible, we see him commanding people to take rest. Jesus rested. So this mentality of, I got to just get in there and slam my face against the wall every single day is really not how it was intended. And quite honestly, the more I'm learning about the research and the science behind exercise science, the more I'm realizing that that is something that has been taken in a small form. And there's what this great word that's called fetish size. And they basically it just making this fetish out of it and not realizing the full impact and the intention behind it. So the intention of high intensity exercise was never to be done 7 days a week. Never. Yeah.
Well, I love that you also said listening to your body. And I think that it's often said without really explaining a lot about, and I'm really huge on listening to your body, but I think a lot of women are so emotionally detached from their bodies, which also hinders their ability to listen to soreness, to digestion issues, to fatigue or being tired. Can you talk a little bit about that? Like, what does it look like to listen to our bodies so that we can kind of put the lies to the side and be able to trust the Holy Spirit to guide us in that?
Yeah, I think this is so important. And quite honestly, Jessica, this is something that is newer to me that I'm learning. You know, I think we have this mentality kind of going back to what we were just saying is, oh, I got to push through. I got to power through. I'm really hurting here and I just need to finish this set and I'll be great. Well, it might be that finishing that set, maybe that's an accomplishment, or maybe you're actually starting to lose form and, you know, you're hurting yourself in the long term. And I think when we experience these moments of pain, when we experience these things where our body's trying to communicate with us, if we approach it with a sense of curiosity, huh, why is that happening? What am I doing? Did that happen last time? Why is it, you know, like my knee's been kind of making this funny poppy noise. Now, maybe that's because I'm 46, but I think it's because I haven't been foam rolling my body, you know, my legs as much. And just kind of taking a step back and just be curious about it. And, you know, maybe it's not necessarily that we go in there like, okay, well, because of this, I have to do this. It's more of what is my body trying to tell me? Mm-hmm. I've been meditating. I'm trying to, I'm not, I'm not super great about being consistent with it, but I've really learned that, like, I personally store tension in my chest. And so when I'm doing that, I can feel my chest starting to release. And because I've been paying attention to that, when I start to get stressed, I can feel my chest start really tightening up. Mm-hmm. And so that's my body communicating with me that, like, we are in a high tension point and it's, you know, and then, okay, well, what's going on and how do I alleviate that?
No, I love that. I think, again, it's just listening to the cues. Every cue, like, it's like a yellow flashing light or red one, you know, depending on where you are, that says, you know, hey, we need to slow down, pay attention to this, or we need to stop this. And that's what's really hard is, even when, you know, I always tell people, if you did not sleep well, if you only got 4 hours of sleep, don't wake up and force yourself to do an hour at the gym, because you're actually hindering your success or goals or whatever more than you're helping them, because your body doesn't know what stress, because you have physical stress, you have emotional stress, you have spiritual stress. Your body doesn't know the difference, but we just go, well, I'm just going to work out because that's what I'm told to do. And it's going to make me in a better mood. Right.
Oh my gosh. Yes. I cannot agree more. And in fact, it's funny you say that. So I live in the Houston area, and as recently we had this whole, I don't even know what they're calling it, snowpocalypse, coldpocalypse, snowmageddon, I mean, like, whatever it was, but, like, our city totally shut down. So my community, I mean, we were without power for anywhere between 2 and 3 days, and no connectivity and no water. And, like, it was just a mess. And I got on later in the week when the sun was coming out on Instagram Live. And then I couldn't figure out how to get it. I couldn't, like, get it back to my feed, but I was saying the exact same thing. Like, you have been under a lot of stress right now. Now is not the time to go out and, I mean, I know I've used this term already, but slam your face against the wall. Like, this is not when you need to be going and doing these super hard workouts, because your body is in the stress, and those stress hormones will increase your inflammation. Well, guess what increased inflammation does? It can cause you to be more injured, you know, or more susceptible to injury. And so, you know, I totally get, like, pavement therapy. I totally get, like, oh, I got to run off the, you know, crazies or whatever. But really, the science says 20 minutes at a moderate pace. So go out there and walk. Better yet, grab a friend and go walk. If you're needing to move, and because I get that, but that doesn't mean you need to go, like, run sprints or run hills right after a really stressful period or not sleeping well or any of those other situations.
Yeah. And pay attention to yourself if you do that, and how you don't really feel excited or rejuvenated. You probably want to go back to bed more than anything in those times. So let's talk about the last lie, which is no rest for the weary, which we do kind of hear this in so many different forms. And I think this is where, in my line, where I see working with women, is they struggle with the word consistency. And because of the lies. I don't even want to say, you've said it right. Basically, false promises of what the fitness industry says. If you work out 5 days a week or 7 days a week, they feel like that's what they have to do to be consistent. But for some people, it could be 3 days a week, 2 days off, 3 days a week. Like, it's not this cookie cutter way of life. But I think that this whole idea that, well, I can't rest because that makes me weak, or if I rest, then I won't achieve my goals. So why don't you go ahead and address the no rest for the weary?
Yeah, this is something I so wish the industry would embrace more. They're starting to. I'm actually starting to see different elements of it. But so what's happening is the educators are realizing it, and the people who are really understanding the science, and it hasn't yet trickled down to the end user, for lack of a better word. Rest is such a critical component. Our physical rest, that's when our body puts itself back together. You know, if you are strength training and you're lifting weights, well, you're causing these little tears in your muscles. Well, the only time that they're going to be able to repair themselves and grow and get stronger is during rest, because that's when they're replenished. That's when, you know, they're repaired and all the nutrients are going. But we have this mentality that if I'm not red-faced and sweating and huffing and puffing, then there's this mentality that, well, I haven't gotten a good workout in. Yeah. And this is something, man, I really fight with my clients. I'm like, take it down a notch. And the older you get, the more often you need to have these recovery type days in. And recovery can mean anything. Yeah. It can mean park yourself on the couch and watch Netflix all day. That's okay. Recovery can mean going for a prayer walk. Those can be really powerful. Doing a mobility if you want to move. But using God as our model, you know, again, he rested. I mean, he took the seventh day. And so it's so important that we take time, not only for our body, but for our mental rest as well. I can't tell you, I mean, look, I'm as a personal trainer, I come up with a lot of programming. I'm leading people. I'm leading my own workouts. Do you know how freeing it is to wake up on a Friday and go, I don't have to do anything today. Mm-hmm. It's like, it's wonderful, but we don't give ourselves permission sometimes because all we've seen in the commercials or the ads is the sweaty puffing and huffing and puffing. Sorry, I'm not using the right words, but you know, that's all that's modeled to us. We're not always, and I'm starting to see it a little bit more, but that's not out there enough. And it's so important to give your body rest, to give your brain rest. And, you know, that's a good time too, to, you know, dig into the word a little bit more, maybe spend a little bit more time on your quiet time that day if you work out in the morning. So those are really good opportunities to strengthen your health in other areas other than just your physical health.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think we can all agree that there's probably a ton more lies that are promises that we have heard, but what would you want to leave the listeners with today?
Oh, there's so much I could go on and on, but I think we haven't really talked about this specifically, but something that I say on my podcast is your eating, movement, and body don't have to be perfect. You just need to be able to do what you're called to do. So all of these things that we're talking about, it's not so our body will look a certain way. It's not so we can exhibit a certain, you know, body shape or type. It's so that way we can use our body as a vessel to live out whatever God's purpose for us is today and tomorrow and in the future. And there's a lot of different ways to do that, but it doesn't have to be perfect. God never asked us to be perfect in anything. In fact, he sent a son because he knows we're not perfect and we need his grace. So maybe it's time that we start accepting the grace that Jesus died for in our health journey as well.
Yeah. Amen to that. One thing I like asking the guests before we get off is what lie comes for you that you often have to speak truth to? So doesn't have to deal with this topic today, but is there a lie that the enemy likes to whisper that you have to speak truth to?
Well, the one that I really have been fighting lately is that what you're doing is not enough in terms of the communicator space. So just like anything, I mean, you know, take any industry, take any, I mean, it can be athletics, it can be, I mean, whatever it is, grades. I've got some high schoolers, you know, it's comparison with grades. But as someone who, you know, I've got this book that I'm working on, I've got the podcast, you know, there's the whole social media aspect that I kind of struggle with. And I'm always like, I feel like the enemy is always like, you should be doing more. You could be doing better. You're not as good as her. Oh, she's got your platform. Look at hers. I mean, you know, and so that's the kind of stuff that I really fight right now.
Mm-hmm. I think for the enemy always whispers more to me, you know, well, you should be doing more. You could have done more. You should have done more, right? Yeah. In every tense of the word. So I think many women can relate to that of even in our workouts, you should have done more in that workout. Why didn't you go harder? Right. And I think the enemy just really loves to come for us in that kind of atmosphere of more. And God doesn't condemn us to do more. He just wants us to be with him. And what does that look like walking it out with him? So thanks so much, Amy, for just being here and sharing your wisdom with us. And you, I know you have a really great free guide that you want to give people. So why don't you tell us what that is and where we can find you?
Yes. Well, thank you for having me, Jessica. This has been great. And I love talking about this. I do have a guide called Enjoy Shame-Free Health by Breaking 8 Rules. So this is kind of a precursor to this book that I've been working on. And you can get this at gracedhealth.com/ bad rules, all one word. And I do have a lot of different resources up there. I mean, I have this. I also have one called Squat Free Strong Legs. So it's for all these women who like just don't feel like they can do squats anymore, but they want to strengthen their legs. And it has workouts and a video that it shows, and so that they can get that at gracedhealth.com/stronglegs.
Awesome. Yeah, I'll make sure I have all those links in the show notes below so that they can find all your amazing resources. So thank you again for hanging out with us, and I just appreciate you.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for listening to today's interview with Amy. I know the first lie is one of the lies that I've been told. Well, you're just skinny, so you have to be healthy. And in my early 20s, that was a very damaging statement because I always felt like I had to be striving to be able to be something of what other people thought of me. And as we talked about in the interview, I think it's really important that we don't just give compliments based on what somebody looks like, because it can be really damaging because we don't know their story. We don't know if they're suffering from an illness or stress related or mental health or just something going on in their life. I think it's so important that we begin to encourage and equip and lift up women apart from what their body looks like. Thank you for taking the time to leave a rating and review. It just helps get the word out there so that other people can find this podcast and be encouraged just as you have. Well, I pray that you've been encouraged here on this podcast. So thank you for hanging out with me. And as always, challenge the way you think so that you can change the way you live.